Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And McCart, IFL TV, proudly sponsored by Everlast. Delighted as always to be joined by my good mate, the mighty Celt himself, Tyrone McKenna. Ty, what's happening, brother? I think the last time I saw you was Dubai back in March, April, I believe, man. So how's things?
I'm all good. Just training hard, getting skinny. The usual, the life of a boxer. Boring life.
Exactly, a boring life. But what I'm going to say is I've seen that you married your good lady, so congratulations on that.
Yeah, it only took me 15 years, but sure.
15 years, listen, you got it done, mate. You got it done. That's the main thing. And the honeymoon looked amazing as well. So,
unbelievable.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
I think it's half the reason why I'm welder with me.
Well, there's always a reason to move up in weight. And like I said, 147 pounds, that extra 7 pounds, that extra half a stone, man, that's going to mean everything to you. Was it hard getting down to that 140 pound, or was it just the right time?
Yeah, so. Like, after O'Hara Davies, after the Falls Park last year, I was thinking about moving up, and I was debating with my nutritionist whether we should move up and we were going to, and then I got that opportunity to fight Regress Progress, and I said, you know what, that's too big an opportunity to say no. So I killed myself once again. I made 140, and the week of the fight, I was fucked. I was in Dubai, so the heat helped, but like it was hard to make a weight. And after that fight, I just said, you know what, move up again. I got a phone call from Jamie saying, here, do you want to fight for the IBO title against the guy that beat Sam Maxwell? I was like, fuck me, that's another good opportunity. Mm-hmm. They can't say no. So I was like, yep, fair enough. I'll do 140. I started this camp in the mainframe that I'm doing 140 again. And I was depressed every day. I was like, fuck, looking at the scale going, I hate boxing. It's fucking doing my head in. Weight's doing my head in. I'm just grumpy all the time. And then that fight fell through. And I said, as soon as it fell through, I said, Jimmy, give me a 147 because I need to do 147. I have to move up. It's too much for me now. And since then, I've been happy. Training, I've been back loving boxing. I'm like, see, when you're struggling to make weight, it's just all camp is being depressed about weight and worrying about weight. And I have to lose 2 kilo in this session or a kilo this session. What I have to lose now? What did I put on there now? And now I'm not doing that. I'm focusing on boxing just and enjoying boxing again.
Yeah, that's the thing. People, we've heard it a few times from fighters that have moved up in weight that they're happier. Sometimes they say they should have done it earlier, but the opportunity, like you said, the opportunity to face something like Regis or somebody else was too good. But I just going back to Dubai because I didn't get a chance to talk to you after, man. You faced Regis in the ring.
Do you know what, Andy? I noticed it. I get beat and then there's no AFL. Where's AFL?
Hey, listen, I was there. I was waiting at the back for you. You didn't come back. You never came back to see me. I was standing in that tent waiting for you and nobody came back.
I was getting the worst doctor's treatment I've ever seen in my life.
Mate, them big plasters like that. like that, stuck to your head like that. how good is BJ's then? You shared the ring with them, and I believe I got a little clip of you two. I didn't get an interview with you. I got both of you together.
Yeah, he
hits like fuck, was your word.
He does. He is lethal. Like you could see just from the get-go, he's so relaxed in the ring. Like, it was the calmness in his face during the fight. I was like, you know what? This guy is elite, and he's just relaxed. He's skillful. He's unbelievable. Taming his punch power is frightening. He is lethal. But to be honest, I still, to this day, don't think it should have been stopped because of that cut, because I was running down the set. It looked bad. Like, when I look back on it, it looked bad because there's loads of blood there. But it was from a wee tiny cut of the side of my eye. And I've had that. I cut opened every fight. So for it to get stopped for that was a bit ridiculous. I thought the fifth round, I think it was, I had a good fifth round. And then the second round was going okay. And I think it was getting into a nice wee fight that I was enjoying. Mm-hmm. I think I took the biggest punches the first four rounds. I said what he was going to do. He was going to take his biggest punch. He was going to laugh and he was going to keep on coming forward. And that's exactly what it did. And then when it started getting into a fight I was enjoying, I just got stopped over a pointless cut. But, oh well, do you know what? He is unbelievable. So I was honored to share the ring with him.
Definitely. Listen, and I agree with you. I said that ringside. I said, what are they doing, man? Why is that stopped? Like, he cuts every... If anything, let his corner have another look at it. Do you know what I mean?
I pay a cut man for a reason, and I didn't even let him have his fucking opportunity to stop the cut, and he would have because he's a good cut man.
Yeah.
So that annoyed me as well. Like, just give it the one round to see if he can stop the cut, and he would have because it was tiny.
Mm-hmm.
Like, after the fight, they were just going to put dumbbells on it instead of a stitch. That's how shit it was.
Well, listen, big fight coming ahead at the Fela, man. It means a lot to these Irish fighters fighting on the Fela, especially Belfast boy in Belfast. New weight against a tough Welshman in Chris Jenkins. New chapter in your professional game, so in your professional career. So, I mean, talk to me about Chris Jenkins and how tough a task this will be on August 6th.
Yeah, do you know what? See, Chris Jenkins, he's a tough man that always, always brings a good fight. Like, I haven't seen him in a fight where he isn't going for the win.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to come for. He always comes in exciting fights as well. So he's going to come and he's going to bring he's going to come out and he's going to come firing. He's not going to be gun shy. It's going to be an exciting fight for how long it lasts. He's a fighter that I actually like watching box. I've watched him against Paddy Gall, Phil Sutcliffe, both of them. Irish guys, and he came and he brought the fire, and they're both exciting fights. So I'm expecting nothing less but a tough fight from him.
He did fight at the Fela a good few years ago against Paddy Gallagher, didn't he? And it was obviously controversial circumstances. I believe the fight was stopped. So he's probably wanted to come back to Belfast and show the Irish fans that that wasn't. He can fight, and he's going probably want to come and give it his all against somebody like, especially you, who's all action. So, are you expecting the best, Chris Jenkins?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, he always turns up, and he always has. I've never seen him get beat up. Put it that way, he's always put in a good performance. Even his last fight, where he did get knocked out, he was probably winning that fight. So. Like, he does always put in a good performance, and I expect nothing less. I think he's going to come out, and I think he's going to come out all guns blazing in the first four or five rounds. But I think especially seeing him in 140, people know me as high pace and a high work rate and stuff like that. But see, if you watch me sparring, I have double the pace and double the work rate that I do in a fight. And I put that down to feeling a bit not as energetic when I get down to 140 and something's a bit missing. So I think at 147 you'll see a real high pace I do actually go in sparring. So I think that's going to get them in the later rounds.
You mentioned his last fight, Chris, and just to say that even though he did get stopped, man, he got hurt badly, but he never took a knee. He tried to stay on his feet the whole time. It's like He's got balls of steel like yourself, so this is going to be a crack.
Yeah, you know what? We're very similar, me and him. Like he cuts when you look at him as well. So it's going to be. Hopefully, we get past the first four rounds. White cuts, but yeah, like he's very similar to me. He always comes. He always brings his game as a badger. He doesn't take knees when he probably shoot, and he loves the war. He loves exciting the fans, and he loves blood being all over his face as the eyes. So it's going to be an exciting fight, and I know for a fact it's going to be an exciting fight. But it's definitely a fight that I believe I'm going to win.
Yeah, it's good. You know me, Ty. Anytime you fight, I'm on the edge of my seat watching you fight. Anyway, mate, I absolutely enjoy watching you. But again, what you and Chris are probably going to have to do here, you're probably going to have to sit the ringside doctor and the referee down and say, listen, both of you and Chris are going to say, listen, guys, right, we both cut, right, we've got scar tissue all over our eyes, just let us fight, right, don't stop none of this, just let it go.
Yeah, you should be able to say to the doctor before you go to fight, I do not give a fuck about cuts.
Uh-huh.
Like, see, if there's a cut right down, I don't want it to stop, just don't stop it, I don't give a fuck. But no, doctors are sometimes a bit too worried, I think. But see, Belfast doctors, Martin Duffy and whatnot, they're actually very, very, very good. They try and let the fight go as much as possible. I mean, my last fight in the field, I had the same cut that the pro grey they got stopped for and a bigger one above it, and it didn't get stopped. So the Belfast doctors know what they're doing and are very lenient towards the cuts. So thankfully.
I mean, it's a tasty division you're entering. Florian Mark, who's there, that's another good fight for you. I mean, Conor Benn is there. He's always... I know we're talking about the Chris Eubank Jr. I'm going to get your thoughts on that, but he's looking for a credible opponent at 147. You've got Chris Jenkins. You've got Michael McKinson. You've got Chris Congo. That's just here in the UK in itself, man. So, and do you know what I mean? It's a tough old division, and I'm not going to talk about world level yet with yourself, with Spence and Crawford and all them guys, but, you know, it's a tough division. It's a
very
tough...
Listen.
Get past Chris Jenkins first.
See, when I was 140, and I wasn't really ever paying attention to who's at 147 and whatnot, and I moved up to this weight, and I went, fuck it, I'll see who's top 15 in the world. And every single person was more or less a big name. I was like, what the fuck? This weight is stacked. In 140, there's about six or seven people that you go, fuck, are big names. Yeah. This weight division, there's fucking loads of them.
And I
got excited. I was like, I have a long list to call out here on Twitter. But
call them out now.
But yeah, I mean, what?
I said, call them out now on IFL.
All of that, obviously, I'm focused on Chris Jenkins at the minute, but there's Conor Benn, I'd love to fight. I mean, I love watching him. He's all action. He hits hard. He's fun to watch. And that's the kind of fights that I always want to be involved in, is ones that are fun to watch for the fans. That's 100% I'd love. The Marku one, he's all action. I'd love to fight him. I mean, I beat him. I'm definitely calling him out. I've already called him out a few times, I think. But yeah, there's loads, and then world level's just mental. There's so many, there's a fucking long list I can name. But yeah, let's get through Chris Jenkins first.
Exactly. It's a tough old fight. Like, you know Chris well, you've obviously seen him fight, and I know him very well. It's a tough fight. But you mentioned Chris, you mentioned Conor Benn there. He's looking to move up weight, and if you believe the stories out in the papers right now and on the radio and whatnot, possible huge fight, a legacy fight, they're calling it, against Chris Eubank Jr. Now you've got Conor Benn, Chris Eubank Jr. It would almost be 29 years to the day that their fathers fought each other. I mean, that's just ridiculous. But your thoughts on that fight, if it goes ahead? And
do you know what? See, you always say, oh, he's a spit of his dad. The both of them are exactly alike of their dads. Like, the way they act, the way they talk, the way they represent themselves, the way they box, everything is a carbon copy of their dads. It's fucking frightening. So it's unreal to see that there's going to be a Conor Benn and Chris Eubank Jr. fight. I actually think Everyone's saying, and I was saying as well, fair play to Conor Ben moving up a weight, or a couple of weights to fight Chris Eubank, but for fuck's the Chris Eubank going to drain himself to the bollocks? Because that's probably worse than moving up a weight. I'd rather be at the wrong weight above than 2 weights below the way they should be, because he's going to be proper fucked at that weight. So it's interesting that I'm actually surprised he took it that late. But it's a huge, huge fate. I'm very excited for them, all for them. I'm definitely tuning in for that fate. And the build-up's going to be lethal as well.
I know. If it's anything like what their dads used to get up to, then it's going to be amazing.
It's going to be lethal. I could see the two dads going at it and everything. It's going to be lethal.
Who knows? Listen, I don't know. They're probably a little bit older and wiser now, but I'll kind of... selfishly would like to see them dads just for one more time going at each other.
Maybe we undercard exhibition fight them two.
Listen, if it happens, then we can thank you.
Stranger things have happened than that.
Exactly, Ty. Listen, big fight for yourself. Like you mentioned that you love the Conor Ben fight, Florian Marku, but you're not looking past Chris Jenkins. So August 6th, have you got a message for Chris Jenkins, and what can the Belfast fans expect from yourself?
War, brutality, blood, excitement. They don't want to miss it. I believe that's Chris Jenkins is thinking the same. That's exactly what we're going out to do. My training sessions, my sparring sessions are non-stop. I'm throwing punches until I keel over after the sparring, because I know what I'm going in for. I'm going in for a non-stop war, just like last field. It's going to be exact same. I don't know if you know, but I applied for your job recently. I applied for it. It was a great wee video I'd done. And I don't know, it didn't hit the waves. I didn't get the interview date for some reason. I don't know why.
Oh, let me have a look. Let me see what I can do, any strings I can go and all that. So I've not seen the video. I'm going to message folk now. I want to see that video. I want to see your...
Yeah, the video was good. It was spur of the moment, but it was pretty good. I was like, do you know what? I'm a shoo-in for this. And then Coogan said the interview's in 2042 or something like that.
Oh, you'll be long retired by then. Like, retired. You'll be sitting with a pint of Guinness in your hand somewhere.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Listen, Ty, thanks again for doing this Fivefold TV. Maybe one day you'll interview me if you get the job. But until then, mate, listen, August 6th.
You put it up, you're just waiting on a fight date. You're raring to go.
I'm raring to go.
I've seen a picture of you in like boxing gloves. Where was that?
That was a little charity fight I had.
Yeah, when's the next one?
I don't know, man. That was like, I only got like 3 days notice, man. Next one, let me train for a little bit. Let me get a six pack.
You're ready to go. Anywhere, anytime, aren't they?
Anywhere, anytime. But I'm fat, man. I want to at least get a six pack. I want to look good. You know, I'm going to be a fat mess in that ring. It's horrible, man.
Ah, fuck it here. Plenty of time for six packs after the fight.
Exactly, mate. Exactly. The real six packs. That's the time, man. Stick in, my man, and I'll speak to you soon, brother.
Yep.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.